Here's Conor Murphy from the Sinn Féin MLA. Morning to you, Conor.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So, the talks this afternoon, Conor, do you think the DUP has shifted its position on gay rights for a start?
Well, I welcome the fact that the party did allow, given its position in relation to gay rights and the LGBT community, accepted the candidate stand. I welcome the fact that she was elected. I notice also that the other councillor who had taken a stand in relation to LGBT issues got elected despite the party. And I think those are positive signs. So whether that heralds a change in position, I don't know. We'll test that when we meet it today. We hope that it does. We hope that there is a mood to resolve issues. We're certainly coming forward in a positive mode to try and find resolutions to these issues and try and get the Assembly up and functioning.
And you say testing that position. What will the test be?
Well, we'll have a conversation and see. The difficulty was in reality, that particular position was that the DUP don't, of course, have the numbers. The UUP would not commit to not signing the petition of concern. So if the DUP want to maintain their position, I think there are people in the DUP who do support equal marriage, and I think they should be allowed the ability not to have to sign a petition of concern. But the course of the DUP, plus I assume Jim Allister, would take it to 29 signatures. We asked the UUP on a number of occasions to give a commitment that none of their members would sign that, and that was the issue resolved. We could have brought it to the floor of the Assembly and had equal marriage resolved, but the UUP would not give that commitment. So those are the things, I suppose, that we need to see if there's any change in that, if the UUP give a free hand to their own people in terms of a requirement to sign or not to sign a petition of concern.
Am I right in saying that Sinn Féin, there's no change in your party's policy? You dropped in the past your previous red line of insisting that there would be equal marriage before you went back into government. You dropped that when we saw that draft agreement last time. So it doesn't really matter, does it, in terms of whether there's going to be a government restored? You will go back into government without gay marriage being an assurance, correct?
No, that wasn't the case, and it has been presented as that, but we had many conversations with the LGBT community around that time, and they understood fully our position and supported that. The issue of equal marriage was going to be presented in the Assembly.
But you were going to go into government without an assurance, weren't you?
If you allow me to finish, the issue of equal marriage was going to be presented in the Assembly. If it failed, we had an assurance that it would be passed in Westminster.
From whom?
From the government. That it would be passed in Westminster. And there was a question put down in terms of the Tory party's attitude to equal marriage ahead of the deal reached at the end of February, which confirmed the position that if the Assembly failed or blocked the issue of equal marriage, then it would be legislated for in Westminster.
You had an assurance from the government. From whom? From the Prime Minister?
We had an assurance from the government that would be the case. And that's we were very clear about that. And I have heard people try to present that since in a different light, that the issue of equal marriage, because the UUP would not give a commitment as to whether they would or would not sign a petition of concern. So it could have been passed in the Assembly, but had it not, we had a commitment that it would be allowed to proceed through the Westminster.
Okay, so
the issue of equal marriage would be addressed.
But Conor, and this is really important given the talks that we're getting into. So are you seriously suggesting that your party believed the British government was going to go over the head of its DUP partners in government and push through gay marriage?
Well, that's the commitment that was given. There are sufficient numbers, well above sufficient numbers in House of Commons to pass equal marriage for the North to ensure that the rights that people enjoy in Britain and the rights that people enjoy in the South are delivered to people who live here. So there was more than enough support. It did not require the DUP's votes to pass any such legislation in Westminster. We have talked to many, many people in Westminster both before and since that issue, and we're satisfied that there is well enough support to pass equal marriage should it need to be passed in Westminster.
And who in Sinn Féin was that assurance given to? Was it Mary Lou in Downing Street, or who was it given to?
It was given to our negotiate team. We were certain of that position before the agreement was reached in February.
And are you comfortable with the, because it's a precedent that Sinn Féin's setting there, you're comfortable then, are you, with the British government pushing through policy in Northern Ireland above the heads, over the heads of locally democratically elected politicians?
Well, the Good Friday Agreement if you read it, is it very strongly emphasises the issue of rights. And that's why the people who want to be in power sharing arrangements here but deny rights are completely contradicting the Good Friday Agreement and in opposition to the Good Friday Agreement. It's very clear. It's also very clear in the situation where rights are being denied to people here in the North that the government with jurisdiction has a responsibility to provide for those. And the government jurisdiction here is the British government. So what we're suggesting to the British government, if the DUP can't or won't accept the rights which apply to people right across these islands should apply to people here in the six counties, then the British government as a co-guarantor, working along with the Irish government through the Intergovernmental Conference, has a responsibility to provide for the rights of the people here. And if that's done in Westminster, so be it.
I think this
that's their responsibility.
Yeah. I think this might be, I might be wrong. You know, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I think this is highly significant today that here you have, ahead of these talks, here is Sinn Féin saying that if the DUP does not agree to gay marriage, you will seek to get politicians in Westminster, a place, of course, where you do not take your seat, but you will seek to get British politicians to vote for gay marriage over the heads of locally elected politicians. Do you think that's the spirit that you should be approaching these talks?
Well, firstly, that position is not new, Stephen. We say that since the talks started.
The guarantee from the British government that they would do this is new.
If I can finish what I was trying to say, we said from the start that if these rights could not be delivered here, then the British government, as a guarantor of the Good Friday Agreement, and the government with jurisdictional responsibility, has a responsibility to provide those rights.
There was nothing in the Good Friday Agreement about marriage rights, Conor.
It's a very strong section of a sizable proportion of the Good Friday Agreement are about rights.
But not marriage rights.
Rights for citizens in recognition that rights have been traditionally denied in this state to people. There was a very strong section on rights for citizens. And can I say, it's not against the spirit of the Good Friday. The majority of politicians in the Assembly, the majority of society here, agree with the provision of language rights, of marriage rights, of rights to legacy inquests, of women's pre-productive rights. The issue is that the DUP and Ulster Unionists prevent those things happening from a minority position within the Assembly, from a minority view within society. And therefore, the question is the government that has jurisdictional responsibility to step up to the plate in terms of its responsibilities under the Good Friday Agreement to provide for those rights, but they're being denied to people from a minority point of view.
And just one last question on gay marriage, and I don't want to move on. Is it still Sinn Féin's view that if an agreement cannot, if you do go back into government without, in Northern Ireland, without a guarantee on gay marriage, is it still Sinn Féin's view that you have a promise from the British government that gay marriage will be pushed through Westminster?
Well, we have continued that dialogue over the course of the last 2.5 years, and particularly since February, both governments, about, in our view, what needs to be done. There is a very clear understanding of our view in relation to that. And, of course, we're entering into a process of talks, and we'll test all of that.
But nothing's changed.
With all the other parties, including the two governments, we'll test that. They wish to see, in the first instance, these matters being resolved here, as do we wish to see them being resolved here, and I hope that we are able to resolve them here. But we're very clear that this isn't about leaving anyone behind. This isn't about forming an assembly and saying to some people, your rights are just going to have to wait. The Good Friday Agreement was underpinned by rights, and those who want to be part of the power-sharing arrangements of the Good Friday Agreement have to recognise that. If that's not the case, the two governments have a responsibility to deliver on that. So we're very clear that these issues need to be addressed, and if they can't be addressed or won't be addressed by unionism, who are using its devices in the Assembly to block that, then the governments have a responsibility to deliver. We've said that from the very start.
If it can't be agreed by unionist politicians, you want British politicians in Westminster to overrule them. Quite extraordinary.
Well, I don't think it is extraordinary at all. We've been dealing with the British government in relation to policing matters and legacy matters, issues which they have legislated for right through the last 20 years. It doesn't get under my skin as an Irish Republican who wants to see Irish people having responsibility for jurisdiction here to ensure that in the meantime people have their rights delivered. And if the Assembly here is being thwarted in that desire, which is clearly the desire of the Assembly, by the unionist politicians using devices to block that, then the government with jurisdiction responsibility, as per the Good Friday Agreement, which we all signed up to, is the British government.
So Westminster takes supremacy over Stormont?
Westminster currently has supremacy over Stormont.
And you agree with that?
It's not a position I desire, but I accepted the Good Friday
position you use.
Well, if you let me finish, you're trying to turn this into somehow as if, an Irish Republican, you couldn't have a British legislating for these things. The Good Friday Agreement is very clear about all of these things, Stephen, and we signed up to the Good Friday Agreement. It's not our desire to have British government exercising responsibility in Ireland, but that's the situation we're currently in. So the government, which has jurisdiction, has responsibility to provide for rights. And, of course, the British government has ducked that responsibility on a number of occasions because, A, they didn't want to, or, B, they were in hock to unionism. We want to see the Assembly in the first instance delivering on these things, reaching an agreement to deliver these things. That's what we did last February. We reached an agreement to deliver these things. But if that's not the case, and if it continues to be the case that they're blocked, then okay. We're not in the position of leaving people behind and saying, your rights can wait. We would like to see the Assembly function in any way. Then the governments need to step in and deliver on
this. Conor, if the Ulster Unionist Party said that they wouldn't sign the petition of concern for equal marriage, would you go back in tomorrow?
Well, that's one issue resolved. There are a range of issues to be resolved. As I said, you started on the equal marriage issue, and I told you the resolution to that particular issue.
Well, let's move on to the Irish Language Act.
Well, I'll give you a couple more minutes, Stephen.
Sure, no problem. So, in terms of the Irish Language Act, is it still a red line for Sinn Féin that they will demand a standalone Irish Language Act, or you will not go back in the government?
Well, we had reached an agreement on the type of Irish Language Act that we were prepared to accept last February. Language Act that we want to see delivered. Well, it was very clear in the agreement.
Irish Language Act?
I'm not getting hung up on these things, Stephen. You can take us up and down these roads if you want. We reached an agreement last February. It was there to be seen as to what was agreed. We were prepared to live with that, as all agreements are. They're a matter of give and take. We were prepared to live with that. The DUP didn't sell the agreement or didn't try to sell the agreement to their own party, and we it ended up coming unstuck. Okay. And that's the type of Irish Language Act we were prepared to live with.
Okay, so if I drop the question around standalone, would there have to be some type of Irish Language Act for Sinn Féin to go back into Stormont?
Of course. This isn't about leaving, as I said. This is not about leaving people behind. The issue of rights, respect, parity of esteem are at the core of the Good Friday Agreement. So it's not simply, they're not simply add-on extras. These are at the core. Power sharing is about the principles of the Good Friday Agreement. And you cannot be in power sharing and decide you want to have the office, but you don't want to accept responsibility of respecting people's rights that goes with that. And that's what we've been asserting here. It's not just about Irish speakers, it's about rights right across the board. And we want to see, and I think the majority of parties, and I think there was a very progressive view from the electorate in the recent election as well, want to see people having their rights protected and afforded to them. It's not anything which diminishes the rights of anyone else. And I think that's the position we need to get to, and that's the core of the Good Friday.
So Sinn Féin isn't compromising on gay marriage. It's not compromising on Irish language. What is Sinn Féin compromising on?
What would you want us to compromise in relation to that? I'd like to say to people who are LGBT, you can get married, go down the road to Dundalk, you can get married, go across to Britain, you can marry, but by the way, we don't respect your right to marry the person you love here. You want to say it Irish language speakers here, you can have rights in Wales if you speak the Welsh language, or in Scotland, that doesn't diminish Britain or Britishness.
Okay.
But over here, you can't have those rights. So it's not about compromising on those things. This is about not leaving citizens behind.
Just two more questions, because I know you need
that the Good Friday Agreement is lived up to. The Good Friday Agreement was about respect, equality, parity of esteem, and rights. And we need to ensure that.
Two more questions, because I know you need to go, and I want to respect that. Initially, Sinn Féin had another red line, and that was that Arlene Foster needed to step aside when you were trying to do the deal the last time for you to go back into government, and she refused to do so. And that red line was dropped. Can I ask why? Because the RHI inquiry is not out yet. So why have you more confidence in Arlene Foster being able to work with Michelle and your colleagues, and you didn't in the past, and nothing has changed in terms of the outcome of the RHI inquiry? Why did you drop that insistence? Were you wrong to demand it in the first place?
No, if you remember, what we actually asked was that for Arlene Foster to step aside for a period of up to 6 weeks.
She refused to do so.
Other parties who are talking about the solutions they're going to bring to the talks today asked that she step aside permanently. We asked that she step aside for 6 weeks. It was a reasonable request until there was some form of interim report. And the inquiry has run its course. and it's ready to make its report. And the results of the inquiry, I think, will then something that will dictate what happens beyond that.
But are you prepared to go back into government before the RHI inquiry publishes? With Arlene Foster as leader.
If the issues which need to be resolved are resolved, the leadership of the DUP is a matter for the DUP. I think there are serious questions that the inquiry obviously asked of that party, and I would hope that the party would reflect on those and deal with them on the outcome and the report from the inquiry. I would hope that that has is a cause for the DUP to have a serious look on how it did business and how people at the very top level of the party did their business.
And look at it by
that
doing
take
what?
Some action in relation to that.
What action?
Sorry?
What action? Take what action?
Well, it depends very much on the outcome of the report. I haven't seen what the inquiry is going to say in relation to these matters. Like yourself, I followed it very closely in terms of Judge Cockton's commentary during the course of that, the questions that were asked and the scrutiny that was applied to people. So let's see what the outcome of all of that is.
Okay.
We had asked for Arlene Foster to step aside for an interim period until a preliminary report was done, but the inquiry went into full inquiry mode, and obviously it has done a very thorough job, and I look forward very much to seeing the report from it.
One final question. Why do you think you did so badly in Derry / Londonderry this time? Must have been a big disappointment for Sinn Féin. You've dropped down to the same size as the SDLP on Derry and Strabane. 16 elected in 2014, 11 elected in 2019.
Yes, it was very disappointing. I'm not denying that. In other areas, we had some exceptional results, including my own area in South Armagh, where we got 5 out of 7 councillors in one area. In West Belfast, where we got 6 out of 7 councillors. So we had some great results in new areas where we broke into, Lisburn, Castlereagh, and other areas where we increased.
But in Derry and Strabane, you lost 5. I wonder, is that to do with welfare reform and people talking about that on the doorsteps?
Well, welfare reform affects people right across the entire 6 counties. So what I was going to go on to say before you interrupted me was that if you do well in a lot of areas and do badly in some areas, then it isn't a general political issue, but maybe something specific to the area. And I don't doubt that the people in Derry will look at that, will analyse it, and the party generally will analyse the results right across the north and see where we didn't do as well as we hoped for, where we didn't do well at all. And there were some areas where we didn't do well at all. And we will reflect on that, and we will try and fix the problems that they are locally. But I don't think, given the fact that in general terms we were one of the few larger parties who didn't lose any seats, we largely held our voters a marginal decrease in an election in which there is great political upheaval, then I think we have to be satisfied in overall terms. But where there are specific local problems, then we will look to those and try and fix those ahead of any future election.
Appreciate you coming on, Conor. Thank you.